with your family members who are there. We don't understand all the whys and wherefores, other than we know that as we approach the end of time, earthquakes and famines and wars will be on the increase. And it's a tragedy, and we grieve at the loss of life and the current suffering. But we also know that Jesus is coming soon. Amen? But bless God, we need to be ready to meet Christ. In fact, Christ expects us to be moving and working on His behalf. Amen? In fact, the words of the Master to the servant in the Gospel of Matthew, I believe, were the words, "Occupy till I come. Be busy about my work." I know we have jobs and we have families that we need to take care of, but we also need to make time to be serving the Lord Jesus. But to be doing so in an effective manner means that we need to have the anointing of the Holy Ghost resting in a mighty way upon our lives. I thank God for my salvation. In fact, the greatest bestowment of grace that is upon my life and upon many, if not all of yours, is the fact that you know and I know Jesus personally as my Savior. And because I have confessed my sin and put my faith and trust in Him as the Son of God who died for me and who rose again and who has ascended to the right hand of the Father, I have a certain future in God's presence in the heavenlies. Bless God. And so I thank God for that. But second to that is the second bestowment or work of God's grace, His unmerited favor, His blessing upon our lives, that being the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It is something that is truly wonderful. It is something that Christ promised would happen to His disciples. And if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are His disciples, so you can expect it too, just as real and just as powerful as it rested upon the 12 or the 120 that were up in the upper room praying and seeking God for direction and power in our lives. It is something that we have seen in our movement, the Assemblies of God, which came out of a fresh outpouring of God's Holy Spirit upon many people early in the 20th century. Unfortunately, the trends of our movement, and I'm not here to speak on behalf of or against any other church organization, may God bless them, but solely looking at us as an Assemblies of God church, as a Pentecostal church, the trends of people experiencing this wonderful move of God upon their lives, the infilling of God's Holy Spirit, is on the decline. And that's not the will of God concerning us. His will is that we'd all be filled. God just didn't single out a few people. Well, maybe just a dozen of the 120 that were in the upper room. Or 50, or 75, or even 119. All 120 were filled to overflowing with the Holy Ghost. And were changed people from that day on. And everywhere they went, people were filled in the name of Jesus. Why are we in the state that we're in? Why is this, unfortunately, and forgive the expression, why is this experience dying on the vine, so to speak, within our movement? Well, some could say it's because of the church's general apathy towards the things of God. And, you know, we could spend a month of Sundays on apathy. It's something I think all of us as human beings who know Jesus wrestle with. We wrestle with keeping God as first and foremost in our lives, the first and greatest commandment. There shall be no other gods before me. Amen. Bless God. And I think to a certain extent that is true. We, especially in America, where we have so much I don't think we appreciate how much we got. And if you don't, just take a look at all the news footage of what's going on in Haiti. And listen, things weren't great in Haiti before then. They were an oppressed people. And I pray. And, you know, we should maybe take some more time to talk about it. But I pray through this horrible tragedy, there can be a new Haiti. Amen. In the name of Jesus, where people are cared for and treated right, and there is no corruption, and that land becomes a land of blessing. But we have so much. And one reason I think we have so much is because we pursue much. This is what we want. We want the biggest and the best of everything, even at the sacrifice of God's favor upon our lives. We'd rather have things or money or fame. I'm not speaking about anyone specifically, but about the church in general. But I think the greater responsibility of why we are where we at as far as the decline of people being filled with the Holy Spirit and walking in the Holy Spirit rests not with God's people, but God's pastors. His ministers, His messengers. Look at our text, and this really jumped out to me this week as I was studying this scripture and thinking about this message this morning. Verse 2, Paul asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And listen to their response, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Whose fault was it that these men were not filled with the Holy Ghost and power? Was it their fault? No, they were living in a state of ignorance. They loved God. They repented of their sins and were baptized into the body of Christ. Bless God in the name of Jesus, not only with water, but by His Spirit. But they had not this life-changing experience in their lives because they had not heard the preaching and teaching of everything regarding the gospel is essential for people to be able to receive what God has for them. Think of the book of Romans chapter 10, speaking of salvation. How can they believe, verse 14, in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? My friend, this morning, I bear the greater responsibility as a pastor or a messenger of God in my capacity as pastor as far as the decline of the infilling of the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ. Why? Because we don't preach it. We make various references to it, but we're more interested, and I'm not saying we shouldn't talk about the practicality of Christianity, but I think we talk too much about practical application without talking enough about spiritual application. In Jesus' name. Listen, the best way and the only way to truly effect change in the body of Christ is by the preaching of the Word of God. And so when we as pastors, when we see a deficiency, how do we change it? It's through the preaching of God's Word, because God's Word is alive. He describes it in the book of Matthew chapter 13 as a seed. What is a seed? It's a small thing. It seems inactive, but inside it contains life. And so it is with the Word of God. And let me tell you, you might not be the preacher. You might never preach here. Maybe someday some of you will. Who knows? Bless God. But in your home, you are a preacher or a minister of the Word of God. And if you want to see change in your family, share with them the Word, because it's alive. Amen. Not only is it alive, is it as a seed, it's a sword which goes down to the deepest parts of an individual's life. The Word brings about change. And the reason we haven't been seeing the move of the Holy Spirit as we should is we don't preach about it. Pastors. We talk more about, you know, how to get from day to day, and those, and nothing wrong with that, but we need a balance in the name of Jesus. God wants to do great things in us. As I've mentioned before, God wants to bring joy. I think a new level and a greater sense of joy in our church in the name of Jesus. And we need joy. Bless God. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. And it helps us to continue on in Jesus' name, and gives us a good testimony and demonstrates that our minds are focused on Christ and not on the cares or riches of this world. But the doorway and joy isn't our only goal. That's just the beginning, I believe, in the name of Jesus, to an even greater place of relationship and witness with Jesus. But the doorway to this is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I don't have the scripture before me. I think I might have read it last week from Isaiah 61. I might be mistaken on that. But God has given us the oil of joy. Amen? And oil is a symbol of what? Or who, I should say. Forgive me. It's a symbol of God's Holy Spirit. Joy comes from the ministry of the Holy Spirit upon your life and nothing else. How can we expect that if we're not pursuing the infilling of God's Holy Spirit, which He commanded is for all, or stated is for all and commanded that we should pursue with all of our hearts? And so this morning I'd like to take some time at the beginning of the year as we're doing more introspection on our souls as churches, as a church, and as individuals about this wonderful experience being filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit. There are two words to describe this experience. One is baptism. Jesus said how the disciples were going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And as we look at the scriptural model, and again, I'm not trying to get into a war of words or practice or doctrine with other churches, but as we look in Scripture, when people were baptized, they were dunked. They were immersed completely. They would go wherever they were. They had to find not just water, much water, so that they could be completely immersed in that water and demonstrate to the world that they were dead to the flesh, but alive to Jesus. Much water was needed. And so when we think of baptism, we think of an overflow or abundance upon our lives. Now, I'm not saying that people who have not received this experience don't have the Holy Spirit. We all receive a measure of the Holy Spirit when we accept Jesus as Savior. We're born by the Spirit. And bless God, I've heard some people who weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit, but who have given some very powerful messages and have been used by God in an anointed way. But what the infilling is talking, what Jesus is talking about as far as the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's an overflowing of God's Holy Spirit in your life. It's not just a measure. I don't know, when I'm dry or thirsty, I just don't want a half a cup of water. I want a full cup and more. And such it is with this experience. Another word that's used, and I think it's a very critical word, is infilling. Acts 2:4, in the initial outpouring of God's Holy Spirit, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. What is this saying? This is saying when we're baptized with the Holy Spirit, it's not just something that happens on the outside. We read in Acts 19 how the Holy Spirit came upon them. Ooh, I can imagine it just hit them like, you know, and I'm not trying to be facetious this morning. Amen. Bless God. You know, there are physical responses when God does something spiritual to us at many times. And we shouldn't be ashamed of that or afraid of that. Amen? Amen. Amen. We are Pentecostal. Let's not lose that ability. Hallelujah, or that freedom to be moved by God. But it's not just something that hits us on the outside. It's something that fills us on the inside. Which means it's deep, it's personal, it's internal. When God fills you with His Spirit becomes as much of a part of you as you, as your mind or your emotions. It all began They were filled with the Holy Spirit. That word filled is also used in other areas of Scripture, such as the time when the disciples were out and Jesus told them to cast their nets over this side, and the boat was filled. How full was that boat? It was so full it began to sink. And the nets began to rip. That's the amount of fullness that God wants to place in your life. Also the word used regarding the sponge that was filled with vinegar. It just didn't have a little dry taste of vinegar. It was soaked in vinegar for Christ to drink, although he refused it when he hung on Calvary. It's also used in words in reference to emotions such as wrath or fear, which move people to act in a violent or foolish way. Being full to overflowing inside is this life-changing experience that God desires to do in every one of us in the name of Jesus. And we need to pursue this. And I think I know, because Scripture says so. We all need to pursue this. And not just for the experience itself, as wonderful as it is. And it is wonderful. But it opens the door to us to a greater relationship and even greater things spiritually in Christ. How many want more of Christ? Well, there's a narrow path to salvation, and I believe there's a narrow path to greater spirituality, and that's the infilling of His Holy Spirit. And we'll talk about why that is here in just a moment. It's a gateway to God's glory. And in these ways, firstly, it is a doorway or a gateway to a greater experience or relationship with Jesus. Now, if you want to communicate with someone, which is better? Calling them on the phone or talking with them face to face? Definitely face to face. Because communication is more than what we say. Body language has a lot to do with communication. For instance, someone could call you up and say, will you help me move? And you could say on the phone, yeah, sure, I'll help you move. But if you don't see them face to face, you probably won't see them roll their eyes and go, I don't want to do that. Communication, voice is just so much. But when you're literally in the presence of someone, you can see, especially as believers, their glorious countenance of the Lord Jesus Christ upon their lives. And that can be sensed over the phone too. I don't. Bless God. And such it is as far as the Holy Spirit. How would you like to communicate with God? From here to here, or God speaking to you on the inside? From the outside, as He did many times in the Old Testament, Noah, go build an ark. Or through the still, small voice of His Holy Spirit speaking in you and bearing witness with your spirit that it is truly His Holy Spirit, truly God who's speaking with you. It's greater. It's a more real. It's a more personal. In fact, I have found, and I'm sharing just my personal experience with God's Holy Spirit, God became more of a friend to me after I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Because He was in me and would speak to me. Even when I really wasn't looking for Him to speak to me, He did. And oftentimes when I needed it, even when I didn't know I needed it. It makes for a more real and personal experience. Secondly, it is a doorway to more power. I think of the second outpouring of God's Spirit in the book of Acts. One of my favorite verses is Acts 4:31. It was what happened when the disciples who were facing persecution, when they prayed and sought more of God's power. The Bible says after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. What this said was, when the Holy Spirit filled them, when He came upon them and filled them to overflowing, once again, and bless God, it is something that can happen. It's something that we're walking, but something that can happen new and fresh in our lives. Just like the love of God should be new. It is new every morning, according to Lamentations. But then when they were filled, what happened? Prior to this refreshing, the second outpouring, they were fearful. They were timid. They were confused. They weren't sure what they were to do, how they were to react to this persecution that was mounting against them. But when they were filled, bless God, their fear and their confusion crumbled, and they became people of power and boldness. Boldness, the strength to stand up to the enemy, and power, the ability to speak to the enemy and speak to those whom God wanted to save with power. They prophesied. It wasn't just them speaking good things. The Holy Spirit was speaking through them. Bless God. Now, let me just say this. As a church, we're not to be power hungry. And I think that's one, you know, and we might talk about this next week. There are several pitfalls that we need to be careful of, because the enemy tries to mar every experience that we have in Jesus. And we can go on a power trip and want the power of God for personal gain. And it might not be monetary, although I think for some it may be. Not within a local body, but well, we won't go into that. Another sermon for another time. But definitely for the ego gain, that people think, oh, I'm someone spiritual because I prophesied, or I prayed and someone was healed, or I did this or that under the anointing of the Spirit. That's not what it's all about. If it becomes about you, then it is a vain thing in the eyes of God. Condemnable. But bless God, we need the power of God to overcome the challenges that His church faces. Amen? And that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. What is our calling? Jesus puts it this way in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, in reference to the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon an individual's life, or the power of the Holy Spirit to deal with the enemy. One of the aspects of our calling is deliverance, to preach deliverance to the captives. People are bound today, definitely outside the church, but also, unfortunately, inside the church. They're bound by sin. Let me tell you, don't underestimate sin. That's why we shouldn't play with it. Because it'll get a hold of your life and keep you from joy and freedom more assuredly than anything else. We need deliverance. People need deliverance from sin. People need deliverance from Satan. We're involved in spiritual warfare, whether we choose to acknowledge it or not. The enemy is against His church, and so the enemy is against you and me. And let me tell you, he is more powerful than all of us combined outside of the power of God upon our lives. We are no match for him. Others need deliverance just from themselves. Our own worst enemy often is us. I've seen the enemy, and it is me. Isn't that not true? Our weaknesses, our fears, our frailties. And we can't do anything. In fact, we were talking just this morning about someone's illness. And one of the worst things about dealing with things of that nature and other things in people's lives and adversities that we face as a church, and our church is facing adversity. Some natural and some definitely supernatural. And the frustrating thing is that in the flesh, we can't do anything about it. We are powerless, but bless God, by the anointing, We are more than conquerors. That's not what I was going to say, but that's good. Thank you for helping me this morning. I appreciate that. We are more than conquerors, and we have more than enough power. Amen?
Amen.
Because all the forces of hell don't in any way measure up to the unlimited power and glory and might of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in the name of Jesus, we need the Holy Spirit. In fact, let me tell you, one of the ways that we overcome is through prayer, and we'll talk about prayer in just a moment. We need to pray that God would anoint the ministry of His Word. How is deliverance accomplished? Let me tell you, it comes down to, and you can do a lot of things. You can be there for support and encouragement, and you can have programs. But it comes, deliverance in a person's life comes down to the ministry of the Word of God. Sharing the Word of God, because it is quick and it is powerful, and it will break bondages in people's lives. But let me tell you, and a lot of people I believe are frustrated in their ministry of the Word of God is because their ministry is not anointed. The Word of God ministered without the anointing may bring, you know, the Word itself is powerful, but it needs the anointing of that individual sharing that. And I'm not just saying that because I feel that. I believe Scripture teaches that. Listen to praise of God to those who, in the book of Revelation, to those who spiritually survive, they might lose their lives, but spiritually survive during the great tribulation period. It says, they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. It was the Word of God. And how is the Word of God described as far as our warfare? And what I'm making reference to is Ephesians chapter 6, the armor of God, which talks about how we would equip ourselves to do battle in this world. How is the Word of God described? The sword of not what, but whom? The sword of the Spirit. So if the Word is the sword of the Spirit, what do we need in order for us to wield that sword and use that sword in a powerful and effective manner? We need the power of the Holy Spirit. I can have a great sermon, thoroughly researched, with detailed notes, that on an intellectual level will appeal to man. But if it's void of the anointing, what good is it? Because it's the Holy Spirit that brings change in the hearts of an individual. Lastly, this morning, the infilling of the Holy Spirit is the doorway to powerful prayer. Not to prayer. Anyone and everyone can pray, although the unbeliever, God is looking for just one prayer, although He answers others. God be merciful to me, a sinner. But when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, it provides for us a way to pray immensely more powerful. Where are the battles that we face won or lost? Now, in the natural realm, it's won on the battlefield. And in a sense, it is. But actually, if you, and I'm not a military scientist at all, or a strategist or anything of that nature, but the little bit I know is that you can have a very powerful army, but if there is poor planning, a poor strategy, you lose. A lot of thought needs to go into dealing with opposing forces. Now, there's already someone who has put a lot of thought into defeating Satan, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we want to see Him defeated, what do we need to do? If we want to see someone broken so that they can come to Christ or delivered from their addiction or living in joy and set free from their fears and sorrows. Yes, the actual battlefield is sharing with them the Word of God, but it's won far before that point if we have spent time in prayer for whatever situation that we are praying for. Why is that? When we pray, what are we asking God to do? To take care, to go before us, to move upon the hearts of individuals or even nations. And let me tell you the scope of prayer. Even the prayers of a church our size can change the course of nations. Do you believe that? Absolutely. If we say to this mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, it shall be done. We need, and I think that's one reason why we struggle and we face defeat so much is we don't pray. We don't seek God. God, move upon this person's heart. God, deliver this person in the name of Jesus from what they're going through. God, set me free this morning in the name of Jesus. We don't pray. And James puts it this way, we have not because we ask not. And when I mean pray, I mean not just, here I'm eating my Cheerios, God bless me and help me and bless all the missionaries today. I mean getting down and really making business with God. Praying, and I'm not saying how much time you should pray, other than you let the Lord tell you when it's time to stop praying regarding whatever you're facing in the name of Jesus. And when we pray under the anointing or with the infilling of the Holy Spirit, our prayer is taken to a level that is so much higher. How do we know this? Two scriptures from 1 Corinthians 14. First is verse 2. In regards to praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in another language as the Holy Spirit moves upon us. Anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. Now, how many have had in your life something happen or you felt very strongly to do something that just seemed like the dumbest thing to do? I think we've all been there. What? God, why do you want me to do this? In fact, I heard an example just yesterday, and I'm going to encourage this person to share their testimony because it's a good testimony, and it was regarding this very thing. And why do you want me to do? Why do you want me to quit my job, or why do you want me to move here, or to do this? This doesn't make sense. And then later, all of a sudden, you realize why? Because God somehow or some way in that situation blesses you or uses you or does something wonderful or special in someone else's life. I think we've all, or at least most of us should have, experienced that in our lives. Now, if it were left up for you to pray regarding that situation, you probably wouldn't have prayed for that. I'm not going to pray and go there. Are you kidding? It's the last place I want to go. But when we pray in another language that we don't even know, our prayer is unfettered by our mind and our will. What we think is right and what we want to happen in our lives. And so when the Holy Spirit moves upon us and we pray, and we're to pray in English, I'm not saying don't pray in English. Paul says in the same chapter we're to pray with our minds but also with our spirit, or pray in English and pray in tongues as the Holy Spirit moves upon us. We do so, we're praying the perfect will of God because they're His words. Isn't that what we should be praying anyhow? Amen. Thy will, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Secondly, when we pray in the Spirit, it strengthens the spiritual man or woman that is in you. 1 Corinthians 14:4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself or builds himself or herself. Bless God. You want to become more of a person of joy? Allow the Holy Spirit to pray through you in the name of Jesus. You want more peace in your life? Allow the Holy Spirit to pray through you in the name of Jesus. You want more love? You're struggling with the area of love. There's hatred in your heart towards someone? Pray in the Holy Ghost and there'll be more love. Why? Those are what? They should be popping in your mind. Those are all just a small sample of the fruits of whom? The Holy Spirit. And when we pray in the Holy Spirit, what is He going to make alive in our lives? His wonderful fruits will form and grow and become mature and enable us to share them with others in the name of Jesus. Jeremiah, if you come this morning, there's two things I'd like to say in conclusion. Number one, it is important for you as a believer. It's important to me as your pastor because I care for you, but more important for you as a believer that you be filled to overflowing with God's Holy Spirit for the reasons that I mentioned and probably a lot more. I just didn't feel led to share with them this morning, and I dare say there's some of you who are probably thinking of some things. You should have said this and you should have said that. And that's okay. Maybe another time that'll lay them on my heart, or you can share them with someone or whatnot. It's important to be filled. But secondly, it's important to realize that we're not only to be people who have an initial infilling of God's Holy Spirit, we stay filled with the Holy Spirit. And let me just speak frankly. The initial, and I think the continued physical evidence, not internal, but external evidence that someone has received the infilling of the Holy Ghost is by speaking in another language or speaking in tongues as the Holy Spirit moved upon you. And then I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I ask every believer here who had an experience, that experience in your life, when was the last time when you prayed, the Holy Spirit moved upon you and you prayed in another language? I believe, and I'm not saying it should be every time, because the Bible doesn't say every time we pray we should speak in tongues. Although we can. It can happen. But Paul did say in 1 Corinthians 14, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. What that's saying is this is something, again, not so much the speaking in tongues, but the flowing infilling of the Holy Spirit, which manifests itself in praising and praying. You know, that's a whole, we could spend a lot of time on speaking in tongues, but praising and praying in another language should be a regular part of our worship and our relationship with Jesus. And you know, I think there are three people here this morning. There are people who've never been filled and who need to be filled. There are those who have been filled and are walking in the fullness of that. And thirdly, those who were filled a long time ago, but it grew dormant. Hey, it happened in my life. I was filled when I was almost 13. It was October 1977. Yeah, and I was about 13, and an evangelist came to our church, and I just went up the altar, and I just sought God, and God hit me like a ton of bricks. And I can share, maybe some other time I'll share with you that personal experience. But let me tell you, I didn't cherish that gift in my heart. And when I prayed, the Holy Spirit didn't move on me later on in my life like He did after I was initially baptized with the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you, when I rededicated my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, that God called me to become a pastor, I began to pray once again. And let me tell you, the Holy Spirit came right back and filled me again. It's not, and forgive the expression, it's not a one-shot deal. If you blow it, you've lost it. God's a God of grace. And just like He'll take the backslider back in, He'll take the person who's allowed the gifts of the Spirit or the infilling of the Holy Spirit to grow dormant in their lives in the name of Jesus. I'd like to ask everyone to stand. We're going to pray in Mass this morning. But then I'm going to ask folks to come forward. And let me just say two things regarding the infilling of the Holy Spirit. How to be filled. I know there are classes that can go on weeks and weeks. Talk about how to be filled. I think Scripture makes it very simple in two things. And one thing especially. Number one, this is a gift that, although it's free, needs to be sought after. God didn't all of a sudden wake you up and you immediately gave your life to Jesus when you received the gift of salvation. You had to pursue that. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Come into my life, God. In fact, some of you maybe didn't even know much about Jesus, but you were just searching for Him. And God rewarded that by sending someone to you who shared with you the gospel. The Bible puts it this way, the parable of the pearl of great price. A man found a pearl of great price and he went and sold everything he had so that he could find it. And it was illustrating the kingdom of God. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you've got to want it more than anything. Again, you don't earn it. It's not a matter of, you know, you say 20 prayers or go to church 20 times or do this thing. It'll happen. It's by wanting that more than anything. I want more of you, Jesus. Fill me, fill me, fill me, fill me. And secondly, and I think this is where a lot of people have problems, you feel the Holy Spirit welling up in you, and instead of just opening your mouth and letting God fill it and just blurting out whatever's on your heart, you think, I can't do that. My mind has to be in control of my mouth. At some point, you've got to do this and make a leap of faith. Now, the only time I jump and hop with you, I jumped off that hoping but knowing that there was a floor underneath there that I was going to go up the abyss. But a lot of people, when it comes to the point of speaking in another language, I can't let go of my mouth. Let go and let God. Who cares if you said, when I first spoke in tongues, it was just one word over and over again, but it was powerful. And I knew it was God because my mouth did not cease to chatter for a whole week. My jaws just kept on going. And I'm not saying that has to happen in your life, but what has to happen is not worrying about what you sound like. And just open your mouth and let God fill it. And if it sounds like gibberish, well, everything, you know, the whole gospel, the Bible says, is foolishness. Be a fool for Christ's sake. Amen? Amen. Bless God in the name of Jesus. We're going to pray in Mass this morning, and I'm going to invite folks to come forward for individual prayer, but initially to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit or to be refilled. Listen, the time needs to end, or the only time people in church get filled with the Holy Spirit is when they go to youth camp or men's convention or some evangelist comes in. And I'm not against any of those things. I'm grateful for those things happening. But there's no reason it can't happen on any given Sunday with anyone. Because God's no respecter of persons in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much and we love you today. And we thank you so much for the gift of your Holy Spirit. We love Jesus and we love that Jesus prayed to send the Comforter. Not only to watch over us, not only to be alongside us, but to come upon us and fill us to overflowing with His power, might, and love. We're so grateful for that. God, I pray as a church you would just fill us, this church body, fresh and new with the anointing of your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Fill us, oh God. Fill every member here. And change, God, our disposition regarding the importance of being filled with your Holy Spirit. May we as a church desire it, and may I as a pastor preach it in the name of Jesus. So that we'll not live short of the calling that you've placed on our lives. Oh, we love you so much, God, tonight, this afternoon. And just, Lord, with open hearts and open arms, willing to receive what you have for us in the name of Jesus. And this we ask in your name. Amen. Jeremiah is going to begin this thing, and as he does, and there may be some who need to go. If you need to go, may the Lord bless and keep you and bring you back safely. We worship together.